Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome all to another episode of Jake and Drew. We're glad to have you. I feel like I had something else I was going to say for that intro, and I just kind of
choked.
I got cold feet. I didn't know what to say. How are you doing today, Jake?
I'm doing great.
Everything all good?
Beautiful sunny day here.
That over in King Henry?
Yes. I am the king of Henry.
Who's Henry? It's been a great week here in Provo. It's been starting to get a little chilly. Jake has been definitely taking advantage of that. Usually Jake wears the same outfit every day.
That is not true.
Last four podcasts, he's been wearing I'm not complaining, though. It's a shirt that I got him. He's been wearing. He loves it so much. But now he's wearing some stuff he got from the bins. Which actually
unwashed.
You didn't wash it.
I'm just kidding.
That'd be
hilarious.
Right there. That would have been terrible. The bins are so gross.
Yes, good thing I washed them.
I don't want to get too... I don't want to get too graphic too fast about the bins. Like, I don't want to deter any. Actually, I do want to deter people from going to the bins because they take all the good stuff. But have you noticed there's an unusual number of bras that are at the bins? And they're always like size X cups.
You want to hear something embarrassing about
underwear.
Me?
Yeah.
It shows somewhat of my innocence, I would say. I don't really know the size chart. You know, some people be like, oh, that's a. She's got like double D's or something. I'm like, what's that? I'm like, is that good? I don't get the sizes. There's too many letters involved.
How many people are you talking to about this? This is an often conversation.
Well, I don't usually bring this up because I'm kind of shy about it.
You don't want to reveal what you're.
I don't want to reveal that I'm this innocent, but now I guess the world knows because I'm saying it on the podcast. But people like say. It surprises me how well men know the sizes because I'm like, what are these letters?
It's not that hard to understand. The bigger the letter, the bigger the
size. They're like double A. I'm like, what, the batteries? Can we get a laugh? Where's
the laugh on that?
No! I can't find the laugh one. Okay.
Well, we have a special episode for our listeners today. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, a wide variety of topics, a little of a smorgasbord, if you will, of just some football, sports, and other great topics here in the Provo area. I think we want to start off with a little bit of a sports dictionary moment. I don't remember what we called this segment last time. I think it was just like our educating.
Yeah.
The less fortunate of knowledge on the sports world. What was the topic we were going to talk about today, Jake? The
word is Grand Slam. And let me clarify, not the Denny's. No,
oh,
not Denny's
yeah,
Grand
like,
Slam.
I would love to talk about that Grand Slam.
That is a great Grand Slam. Maybe next time. But this one, we're talking about a baseball play. A Grand Slam is where you hit a home run. But here's the catch. Here's the pitch and here's the catch.
Jeez, that sucked. That was terrible.
Here's the catch. There's three people on base.
So the bases are loaded.
You could summarize it as that.
You could say
the bases are loaded. Or you could say there's three people on base.
So what we know so far from Jake's explanation is a Grand Slam is when three people are on base.
That's what we know. But
I think we know more than that.
When he hits the home run, everyone gets to go in. Equivalating in 4 points.
That was a bad explanation. There's a batter at the plate. All the bases are loaded.
People know how baseball works. They know a batter has to be at the plate.
You just said when he hits the ball, it hits a home run.
It's a home run.
It's a home run that drives in three additional runs plus the fourth run, which is the batter himself.
Yes. equaling 4 points.
Jake, have you ever hit a grand slam before in real baseball?
I've not, but I know you're about to brag that you have.
I have hit a grand. How did you know?
Because you bring this up all the time.
I don't bring
you
it.
You kept the baseball from it.
It's actually, I did keep the baseball.
I think you were in minors.
No, I was in majors.
Oh.
Not the majors.
Class A? Double A? Double D?
Double D.
Class double D.
Double D league. No, it was funny though because it was actually kind of a diss from my coach.
Double D, that's a big league, right?
Yes.
Oh, so it's
big league.
So it's big.
It's like Big Chew, big league. Yeah.
So, huge. Okay, interesting. I'm learning.
When I was playing, so I was on the Major League Baseball. I think this was my freshman year.
You weren't in the Major League.
Oh, in majors. They called the league majors. I was like 14.
I was playing for the Diamondbacks.
I was like 14 or 15. But these are far fences, man. Like these are like legit fences. Mm. Anyways, they had already switched the pitcher. I think I was like 1 for 2 at this point. I actually don't remember a lot about this, but I do remember they switched the pitcher right before me. I take the first pitch. It's probably like 12 feet above the box. Like it was a total tomahawk, and just send it right over the center field line. But I remember the thing about it was after like the game and we're all celebrating because we won and whatever. They were giving out game balls, and the coach gave out 2 game balls to 2 other kids, and I was just sitting there like, kind of just hit the first home run of the season, and it was grand slam, and we were down at the time, and so it was like to go and take the lead grand slam, and I didn't get a ball. But they ended up giving me the ball, which now still sits on my bedside. And
you know what they say about baseball players, right? Gay.
I don't think that's what they say.
No, they say it. They're saying it.
Who's they?
Yeah, the people.
The people have spoken? That's shocking, considering you played baseball, too, for a long time, Jake.
Yeah, I am aware of that.
Is this a coming out? I'm very well
aware. I'm very well aware of what I said.
Also from that, last thing I'll say about that, is Dad gave me $100 for that. He said if I got a first base, like if you got like a triple, you get like $5 or something like that. But if you hit a home run, you get – oh, no, he said if you get a home run, you get $50. So my dad wrote me a check for $50. But I feel like if I would have said – a grand slam, he would have been like, oh, Andrew will never hit a grand slam. He's going to – I'll give you $1,000.
Why was Dad bribing us to play sport? It's like the home run wasn't good enough for you. We needed money for it.
All I know
– it's like we didn't want to do that. We were trying not to hit home runs.
No, yeah, I'm trying to embarrass myself and strike out in 3 pitches, Dad. What do you think? He's like, maybe I'll add some money to the equation. They'll start playing better. No, we're already trying very hard to play well.
Actually, people will think we're losers if we hit a grand slam.
Like, wow, he was just doing it for the money. Which also brings me to probably the reason why I wasn't able to play for BYU, because when I first went to college, I think NIL wasn't a thing still. And so I was being paid in middle school for baseball, and they were like, hey, we can't. This is a Reggie Bush thing. We can't have you on this team because too many allegations. Anyways, that was a long way of describing what a grand slam was.
Yeah.
Let's move on to a segment that nobody cares about that we're still going to talk about for a little bit. That is the flag football intramurals playoffs that Jake and I are currently involved in.
On our playoffs?
Team. We don't even have...
We're talking about playoffs?
We don't have a team name. Our team name is Logan Richardson, which is
that's
just a guy, lame. The guy on our team. What should we name our... Let's name the team right now.
Name the team.
And nobody can say anything about it.
Jake and Drew's team.
The Jake and Drew podcast. We should get... Oh, we should sponsor the team.
Oh.
Jake and Drew podcast, sponsored by the BYU intramural...
Wait, our team. Wait, our podcast is.
I think we need. Is the team sponsored by the podcast, or is the podcast?
I don't know. I don't know how this works.
I think our team name should be.
How about Little Boys? So like people think we're like not intimidating. Yeah. Little Boys.
How about Weak Little Boys? How about Innocent Little
Boys? How about Cute Little Boys?
How about Cutie Patootie Little Boys?
Yeah. I like that.
Okay, well,
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Pretty Little Boys, sponsored by Jake and Drew.
A family podcast.
We love kids.
Okay.
Oh! You want to hear something crazy?
Sure. We didn't even talk about the football.
Well, we were talking about something and it reminded me of. Before we go on about the football, I was in psychology class and the teacher straight up says, hey, for our lab this week.
You know what they say about psychology class when you're taking a test?
What?
It's all in your head.
Shut up.
You were saying?
We were in psychology class and she's like, hey, the lab will not be in person this week. I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, for this lab, you are going to go to a preschool and ask them to observe one of the kids and his psychological behaviors. And someone from the room yelled, yes, I've been waiting for this. I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. But we were all thinking it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
This is why I took this class.
They kept asking every week. So when are we going to investigate?
You were the only kid in the class.
When are we going to investigate the preschoolers? Why do you keep asking me about
every
this
class?
Joke?
Always. Hey, I know we've been talking about Kant and what's his face, Freud. But when are we going to? When are the kids? When do the kids get here? When are we going?
When are we going to see the little kids?
When are we going to go study the kids?
I've been waiting all semester for this.
I am paying $4,000 a semester in tuition, and I haven't got to see one little kid in my psychology class? What gives?
What gives? I'm dropping out. Anyway, back to the football game. There was no kids there, unfortunately.
There wasn't any little kids. I saw some parents there for the other team, which I felt kind of bad. We
we ate their trash.
No, I don't think that's – I think we kicked their trash. Oh.
We kicked it, and then we ate it.
Why did we eat their trash?
I don't know.
Jake had a not a tutty, but a two-point conversion, which is
two-point conversions. That's 4 points.
Okay, one was a tip drill. You could have had a touchdown, actually, if you would have caught a tip drill pass. It was very cold last night when we were playing, and the ball was like playing pinball. It was very. We won 21-7,
yes.
I think. So, but the catch is, we scored all of our points in the first half. We had 3 plays of total offense in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal.
Yeah, but locked down on defense.
Best play of the game maybe was Jake's 2-point conversion, where I just threw a lob up to Jake in the corner of the end zone, and he perfectly got like the toe tap down.
Toe tap, yeah. I caught it, and I thought I was way out, and I looked down, and I see both my feet in, and
the ref goes like,
"Yeah, I did a little robot touchdown dance."
It was pretty. The team was not happy with us. They weren't too.
Oh,
bad
the other
guys,
team
but,
hated it.
But we played really good against them.
Started doing a gritty.
You hit a gritty on
them? I hit the gritty.
It was a pretty sweet game. We, I think I had 2 passing tutties and a rushing tutty, and one of the rushing ones, I was looking to throw it to Jake, and then a guy like right as I pump faked it to Jake, a guy starts coming over to like definitely make the interception, and I can just see Jake in that moment just like. It's the only time Jake has said, don't throw it to me. He's like, don't throw it. You're going to throw an interception if you throw it to me. But I
could hear his feet coming. And so I was like, don't
Maybe
do
you thought
it.
He was going to take your head. He was going to like just completely
Don't
let
do
you
it. No.
But it was a really great game.
Slow motion.
We are moving on to the quarterfinals.
Do you know what play doesn't get talked about?
The punt?
Oh, that was a great punt.
Dude on our team punted it like 80 yards. It was crazy. I was like.
Well, the thing is, I feel like. He's an all right player. He's a good player.
Who are we talking about?
The guy who punted it.
Oh, yeah.
He's all right. But it's nothing like blown away where I'm like, oh, this guy has all the talent. Then he punts it. I'm like, where has this guy been this whole
Let's
time?
Punt it every time.
Let's punt
Let's
the ball
on, touchdown,
on first
and
down.
Then just punt it on first down. There was something that came out during the game. This doesn't have to do too much. We have some pretty spectacular plays, but us off the field, one of our teammates told us a little gossip about the BYU football team. About Chase Roberts. Do you remember this?
Oh, I did. I do.
He said that.
I do.
We won't reveal who it was, but he said that Chase Roberts, everyone in practice is always like, or people will tell him, like, we don't know, like, how Chase Roberts is good. Like, he's incredible in games, but he is just not there in practice. Like, he's not good in practice. Like, he'll drop balls and, like, isn't as spectacular as he is on the field, which, I mean, if I were to take one or the other, I think I would take better in games than practice. But
are the rumors true, Chase?
Yeah, are you?
Hop on the pod.
Do you care about practice?
Let's chat. But a play that doesn't get talked about is my flop.
Oh, you had a flop.
They were near the goal line, and the guy ran into me, and I flopped on the ground.
Was it on offense or defense?
I was on defense. I was going for his flag, and he ran into me, and so I purposely fell on the ground. And so they moved back like
Oh, this is the one they called the penalty.
Yeah.
I do remember this. You flopped on that?
I did.
I thought he just ran right through you.
No, that guy wasn't big enough.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought he just took you out.
Trucked me.
You were pretty small compared to him, so I thought that it was just.
I flopped. I flopped hard.
Yeah, there was like 80 yards of penalties in that last drive.
We got the dub, though.
Okay, well, that concludes that segment that nobody cared about but us. And then I think that one thing that I was going to mention before we call our first guest was just a little bit of a statement about the Arizona Cardinals. We'll talk about a little bit more NFL later, but fully bought stock in the Cardinals. But I think that the good news is when my dad, Jeff Gardner, doesn't buy stock in a team, it looks like we do pretty good. Cardinals True. Are good. Suns are the best team in the Western Conference right now.
Woohoo!
And BYU looks pretty okay, too. Which drives us into our next segment. Are we going to get... Should we call him? Big Boy Kook?
You can't introduce him until he's on.
Well,
let's see.
How loud is that? That's not that bad.
Let's see if he answers. I'll turn up the volume a little.
Is it Big Boy Kook or Big Old Kook?
Wow, he's not going to answer.
I think he's at work. We're calling him at 3 o'clock on a Friday.
Hello?
Big Boy Coog. Big Boy Coog. This is the Jake and Drew show. Welcome.
Oh, let's go.
He's excited.
He seems really excited.
Really
He's
excited to be here.
Holding back his enthusiasm.
Are we live?
We are live.
Hot mic.
Okay, I'll be careful.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't let you know. To not say anything too damning. We haven't told anybody who you are. You just go by Big Boy Coog. Is that who you are to us?
Big Boy Coog, as seen on Twitter and Cougar Board.
The now famous Big Boy Coog. Yeah, on Cougar Board.
Big Boy Coog.
I listen to all the Cougar Board rants, and I honestly didn't know that you were Big Boy Coog for a while, man. But I'm actually really proud of the notoriety that you've gained in your tweets recently. This has been great.
It's been a big week for me. Just the nature of Utah BYU rivalry. I'm into that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. So you might have seen a quick video get over 100,000 views.
I'm looking at it right now. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to put your hat in the ring of Twitter, or X, I guess, to talk about the Cold War, better known as the Holy War, this week.
Can you believe that?
I can't.
The Cold War?
I can't.
The classic Utah. Classic Utah education, am I right?
You said it.
No, I love the Holy War. It's like the best sporting event Utah has. Growing up a BYU fan, look forward to it every year. Mm-hmm. And honestly, in my lifetime of 25 years, a lot of the Holy Wars.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
This ended badly for me, if we're being honest.
No, yeah. I say, have you gone to a lot of them in person, or are these mostly just been crying on your couch at home kind of viewing?
Crying on my couch at home, crying in the car listening to it on the radio on the way home from a vacation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the above. Mainly not at games, but I'm fired up. I'm pumped. I mean, usually it's ended up bad for me, but I don't even care. Every year, I look forward to it. Every year, the Cougs are going to win.
Will there be tears shed after this Saturday?
Yeah, what's your prediction for this Saturday? I know we're always a little bit nervous, or we're always excited no matter what just to watch it happen, but where are you at with your confidence for the Cougs this week?
The game's always close. Yeah. I think so. BYU's been favored in this game in the last, so I want to say since the beginning of 2000s, since 2000 and on, BYU's been favored 8 times.
That's crazy.
BYU's 4-4 in those games. And then Utah's been favored around like 11 times, I want to say, and they've been favored, or so they've been favored 11 times and won 10.
Ooh.
So even if Utah's favored, it's almost always a close game. It always comes down to the last drive, last field goal, whatever. And so this year, even though BYU's favored by, I think, 2.5 now is where the line's at.
2.5.
I mean, it's 2.5, right?
Take the spread.
Well, you would think a top 10 team, 8-0, coming into a really poor Utah team, would win by points, you would think, right? But I think, one, Vegas is low on BYU. They have been all year, and they've been wrong. But two, it's just a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. Put the records away. Put the film away. Utah's going to come out with their best stuff. BYU is too. It's going to be, I think it'll be a close game. I would take BYU to cover that, though.
True. Man, how can you not be romantic about football? It's going to be awesome. No, and I think that's what I kind of hope for, is it'll be a good close game. Like, I would love to watch the Cougs win by 60, but I'm anticipating a really hard fought battle on both ends, but I'm hoping that we are able to stick it out, make sure that we cover, and also just give them a good old fashioned beating.
Drew, score prediction right now. What is it? What's the score?
Blind score prediction.
Yeah.
You go, big boy Coug.
Big boy Coug.
No, yeah, I was going to say, this is for Andrew. I want to hear you, what you think first.
Well, I was going to say, I always think that the game's going to be low scoring, but BYU puts up a lot of points. The defense still plays great, but I think I've underestimated the scoring of the team this year. So I'm actually going to say a 35-28 win. I'm maybe a few field goals, maybe a few less points in there, but I think that it goes the Cougs' way, 35-28.
What about you, big boy Coug?
I've been thinking a lot about this. I think, so coming into this game, Utah's defense is the best defense in the Big 12 so far. Mm-hmm. They've held teams to like less than 20. I want to say, you'll have to fact check me, I think every game they've held teams less than 20, but they've lost a lot of them because they've put up, whatever, 10 points, 13 points, 14 points, and just haven't been able to get things clicking on offense.
This is Utah's defense.
So that's what it's Utah's defense. Mm-hmm. Their defense is great, and so I'm nervous. I don't think BYU is going to score a lot. Mm-hmm. What I do think, though, is if BYU takes care of the ball, this has been a problem in prior games with Utah. BYU almost always starts off the game with a pick six or a fumble six. Mm-hmm. They've been prone to turnovers at the start of games against Utah forever.
Yeah.
If BYU can just take care of the ball, I think BYU wins. I'm going to go with 31-17 Cougs.
That was almost my exact prediction.
What was your prediction, Jake?
I was going to go 31-10 BYU Utah. I think it would go 10-17. Like starting the fourth quarter, it'll be like 10-17. It'll be a close game. And then I think the BYU will rattle off two quick touchdowns at the end of the game to make it look more like a blowout.
The over-under is 40.5. I don't know if this is Vegas. This is CBS reporting. But that is pretty low for especially for a game of this magnitude. I'm actually surprised. I bet that's their lowest over-under of the season. But I guess it is. I mean, they make a good point. Utah's got a great defense. The only team to score over 20 points on them this year has been the Arizona State Sun Devils at 27.
Okay, let's go. That's what I like to hear.
So, no, it could be. I predict that it'll be a defensive battle. But honestly, every time I say that, the Cougs put up 35 points or they win on a last second versus Oklahoma State to make the over-under get smashed for the over. So I think
you're finding a way.
I might put
some. We don't have Scataboo, so I don't know, we'll see. But
no, that's true,
we got BYU.
BYU.
No, we're psyched for it.
Yeah,
do you have any closing remarks about just BYU football, maybe even the BYU basketball team in general? You're not just a football guy, you're a big basketball guy too.
Love it all, man. Today I woke up excited because I get to watch Jaeger play some basketball. That's all I'm feeling today.
Who are they playing tonight? Do you know who they got?
UC Riverside.
Okay.
This BYU team right now, they are not ranked. Do you think this team should be ranked? Or do you think they'll get there?
I'm not surprised they're not ranked. There's a lot of unknowns about BYU. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think BYU's two best players are true freshmen. Jaeger's international too, so there's very, a lot of your top media outlets don't really know about Jaeger too much, or they don't even know initially what to predict, especially since Kevin Young's first time head coach. And so I wasn't shocked we weren't ranked, but I do think BYU cracks the top 25 pretty soon.
No, I feel that. The word's gonna
come out on Jaeger, and it already has. Lots of these big John Rothstein, other notable college basketball analysts are already super high on Jaeger only after one game. So I think the secret's out. BYU is going to start getting some attention nationally. Jaeger is, Catchings is, and I think BYU will be ranked pretty soon. And we'll get into Big 12 play and see really how well this team plays.
I'm psyched for it. I think that Kevin Young's doing a great job. I like how we play. We cast a lot. I was able to watch the first game.
Sorry, we had some technical difficulties there for a second.
But no, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great season for BYU basketball, and I think that we got some one-and-done guys, which is something that BYU doesn't usually have, but hopefully that means that we're playing like it's one-and-done this year too.
Big Boy Koo, you have some insiders in the BYU locker room, different stuff like that. What have you heard about the recruiting at BYU basketball?
I mean, money bags. That's what I'm hearing. I think Kevin Young's got Kevin's got an open checkbook, and I think in the next month, my prediction is BYU will have three of the top 100 ranked recruits committed. Right now, we got Statton out of Nevada. I think he's Zadion. I think he's 23rd ranked nationally. Mm-hmm. They got JJ Mandiquit, who everyone's super high on, teammates with a very special player that everyone's talking about. And then obviously Devonta. I think we get him. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too much and life's just been too good as a BYU fan lately, but I'm pretty optimistic we get him.
Man, life has been and really so good as a BYU fan.
Things are looking good. It's almost too good to believe. So I'm kind of waiting for everything to crash down and burn, but it's not looking that way. All we need is a W Saturday night, and I think the world's perfect, man.
Love to hear it. Okay, well, we're excited. We'll be talking to you. We'll probably be live tweeting the game, Jake and I, but we'll be talking to you soon here about how it goes, and maybe next week we'll get you on again to give your thoughts and analysis of how the BYU-Utah game went among some other BYU things going on. So everyone give Big Boy Koog at Big Boy Koog a follow on Twitter. You won't regret it. Appreciate your time today, man.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Look forward to being back on the show. Go Koog.
Go Koog.
Austin Colley put it best. When you're living life right on and off the field, this is where magic happens. I expect to see the magic happen tomorrow night.
Love to hear it, man.
Let's see
you. That was great. That was awesome.
Thank you, Big Boy Koog.
Appreciate you.
We'll see
you. See you guys.
Wow, Big Boy Koog.
Wow, that might be the best insider we have thus far. We don't have a lot of insiders, but that was, yeah, Big Boy Koog is
great insider.
He's one of the best.
Best in the business.
Well, I think let's move right into our next guest, actually. It's kind of weird that we have so many call-ins today. Let's get into our next guest. Not a special guest, but a guest nonetheless. Brady Tavish.
Oh, Brady Tavish.
Of the BA Sports Show.
BA Sports Show.
Do you have the phone number, Jake?
I do.
I'll explain this to Brady, but I think I only have four numbers memorized. I think actually five if you include mine. But I know my mom, my dad's, and my wife's. And then
hello.
Hello, is this Brady Tavish?
This is, yes.
Okay, you're live. Hot mic. Be careful.
Don't.
Welcome to the Jake and Drew podcast. It's great to have you on, man.
Well, thank you.
We don't need that. No, we don't need that.
Okay.
Not that special of a guest. No. This
well, one... I know, not special enough to be 46 minutes late.
We are a little delayed. We had some, I won't say better guests, but some guests with some more time constraints. Brady's theme song.
We just know Brady's free.
what
were you doing?
If you've heard the Stick song, Too Much Time in My Hands, I think Brady lives that song. But we shouldn't minimize your time. We're sorry, Brady.
Well, that's where I'd like to bring that up first. Wasn't going to bring it up. Now I'm going to bring it up. You have Devin on twice.
Devin on once in one sitting. The magic of podcasting is that he was here the whole time, but we just recorded two different podcasts. But you go on.
Regardless.
Sorry.
You have Caden Bateman. You have Sam.
Yes, a very great
guy named Trent Penrod.
Great guy.
Hey, don't be dissing Trent Penrod.
Are you coming after all of our guests right now?
It's Brady versus everyone.
Well, I'm just a little curious here.
You left out our cool guest.
Did Dennis Pitta get this?
Dennis Pitta, did we left him hanging a little bit, right?
Hmm?
Did we call Dennis Pitta right at 3:30 when we said we were going to call
him? We waited a couple minutes.
We didn't want to seem too invested.
Yeah, in too desperate.
Okay, okay. Go on, Brady.
May I ask who the guest was before me?
Big Boy Coug, BYU Cougars insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Big Boy Coug, but he was our previous guest.
His name's like you didn't. Is this like a PFT commenter situation where he doesn't release his name?
That's exactly what it is.
We also had a Jesus Christ podcaster on. What are you going to say about that?
You asked him like he's not religious.
Well, no, I asked him like, is he going to get mad at that too?
Oh, having another person on?
Yeah, who like talks about Jesus Christ.
I've listened. One of your episodes was about how you got raped.
That was a great episode.
Molested. There needs to be an asterisk on that, Jake.
I'm happy that you're listening, though.
With my 45 minutes of time, I was able to go through quite a few of your episodes just to point out the flaws, but I won't do that.
Brady, since we have you now, we won't waste your time for another second. We appreciate you being on. Brady, we go back along. Well, but actually, before we do that, do you have any preference?
Okay, Big Boy Coug only has 344 followers.
How many do you have, Brady?
372, and I don't post anything.
On Twitter, you have 372?
Yeah.
On X.
On X, sorry. Wait, okay, wait.
Well, not everything's about the followers.
Brady's pinned tweet.
No, no, I messed that one up. Sorry, guys.
You have 189, you liar.
Liar!
I misread that. I only have 189. He has 64.
Oh, let me go back. I misread his too then. Big Boy Coug. But you were able to find him pretty easily, it seems like. Hmm. So there is something to be said about that.
All of his posts are just retweets of other stuff.
All of his, not the most popular one, but the pinned one, I guess. But all the other tweets are, what's it called? He looks like he's fresh on the scene, though, which is surprising. His first tweet is from October 19th. So I guess.
Okay, those are just my grievances.
64 followers in 14 days versus 127 in 17 years of Brady's Twitter X. But Brady, what do you want us to call it? Call you? Do you just want us to call you Brady, or do you want a cool name like Big Boy Coug?
You know, I don't need that. Actually, you know what I want to be called?
Oh gosh, yeah, okay.
Is the name available? Can I be called the Elk Assassin?
Shut up. No.
I thought Brady was about to say something so sacrilegious, like the Lord and Redeemer. Brady will do. Brady will do.
I was just asking.
Yeah, I think it's taken. We'll get you on.
Carson?
We'll get you on with what's it called? With a name some other time, but we'll see.
Okay.
Brady, we got a lot to get to, and we have all the time in the world for you, hopefully. But first, I want to just talk about the fact that I didn't get to tell our listeners this, but I only know 4 phone numbers. I don't know Jake's phone number, but I know my dad, I know my mom, I know my wife, and I know Brady Tavish's phone number. And I think I know yours the best out of all those.
I'd rather not release my phone number to
all those that want to call Brady 406.
But it's a very easy number to remember.
That's a good point. Maybe that is why I was able to remember it. It's been a while since you've been on radio, Brady. Are you a little bit nervous? Brady, formerly of the BA Sports Show, featuring Brady Savage and Andrew Gardiner, yours truly, Drew. Are you a little nervous today to be on live radio again?
You know, it's like riding a bike.
Oh, I have seen Brady ride a bike, so this is going to go tremendously not well.
Well, what do we want to get into first here?
I think we'll take whatever direction you want to go in, but let's start first with something we were just talking about with Big Boy Coug. A little bit about BYU Utah. We don't need to dive too much into it. We just want to get into the religious implications of this game. Brady, I'm pretty sure you're familiar, pretty familiar with the football landscape in college football. The BYU Cougars undefeated with a Jewish quarterback leading the charge for them. I'm just curious how you are an advent? You don't like to root for the Cougars a lot. You like to root against the Cougars because you don't like well, you like me and Jake, but you don't really like us. You don't like when we're happy. So my question is, how are you going to reconcile?
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The fact that you're dating a Jewish woman who is of the same faith of BYU's quarterback, but you don't like the Cougars. Who are you rooting for tomorrow?
You got to separate the art from the artist.
Elaborate.
We're too stupid.
Or that they're opposite.
Bray's been taking some psychology classes. It seems like maybe he's the guy.
His haven't been with kids though.
I don't think that any personal beliefs or opinions should affect how you root for a team or a person. I'm on the understanding of if you're famous for, if you give an opinion for something other than you're famous for, then you shouldn't say it or not like them for it.
So when do you get to the part where you're going to tell us who you're rooting for?
BYU and Utah. I really don't care.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, it's a number. I mean, they're number nine right now, right?
Number nine or number eight?
Number nine, yes.
Number nine?
With the BYU Jew.
With Shalom. The BYU Jew.
The big Shalom and Mazel Tov.
He's spreading the ball out evenly. I mean, I think their top receiver has only like 500. I haven't watched too many games, but their defense must be pretty solid.
We have a solid defense.
I mean, I think their top receiver only has 543 yards and their top rusher only has 200 yards.
He's one of the top rushers too. I think it's because he has like a touchdown pass to like 10 different receivers this year, something crazy.
Yeah, I thought he spread it out pretty good.
He does spread out pretty good. He's a gunslinger too, which is why I like him. He was catching a lot of flack in the first couple games of the year, just like, hey, we should bench this guy. This guy sucks. He's not great. And I hear those murmurings. A lot of people are starting to murmur that he couldn't do it, but they've kind of died down on that.
He's like my mom at the Super Bowl party, you know? He likes to bring out the spread.
Speaking of the spread, BYU is favored by 3 points.
I know, we saw that. It's crazy that a 4-4 team that has home field advantage is not
they're home dogs. You gotta love home dogs.
I know. You gotta love
and
home
also,
dogs. Vegas always bats on BYU though.
I will. Well, it's because let me. I'm looking something up real quick.
Oh, I was like, why are there so many gaps in between when you're talking? I was like, he doesn't think that much. Like he's not like lost in thought. If you need a
BYU. Still independent?
No, Brady. What year is it? We've been in the Big 12 for like we've been now. We've announced it for like 4 years, but we've been in it for like 3 years now.
Okay. Well, I was a little confused, but
one of your favorite teams is Notre Dame, and they're an independent.
Well, it's tough now with all the realignment, and I don't keep up with this side of FBS college football as much. Now that they have 12 team playoff, I've kind of been keeping up there.
Fair enough.
But I will say, who am I going to pick to win this game? I'm going to pick, I hope Utah wins, University of Utah, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because my good friend, Reed Noyd, Boo. Is currently at medical school. At University of Utah.
Boo, doctor.
Who the heck is Reed Noyd?
Brady's roommate.
Oh. Well, I don't live in Utah, so.
So that's the reason why you're picking their football team to win.
Well, and I really don't care.
Separate the art from the artist, Brady. It seems like you're just rooting for them because you have a friend in the program.
He's not even in the program.
Don't you have a friend in the program at BYU?
Yeah, don't you have a friend that's on a podcast right now that roots for BYU?
I don't know. My friends keep other friends waiting. But again, I really don't care about that game. who do I think will win? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. It's funny when you have people on podcasts and you're asking about games that they should. I guess they don't have to care, but if Adam Schefter was like,
that's like you're asking me about a European soccer match right now. It's like, what do you think about this, and who do you care to win, and this why is, don't you want them to win? And I go, I have nothing. I have really no involvement in those.
If BYU, this has implications for you as far as a Boise State fan goes. I feel like Brady, because if Boise State wants to make the Big 12 or the College Football Playoff, they really need BYU to not be the one that takes their ticket out of there.
Well, that's different because of how the bidding system works.
Yeah,
because
they're in it for a Big 12 championship.
They're kind of at a bid.
Yeah, they're in it for a Big 12 championship. After that, rankings aren't really involved.
True.
Because if BYU doesn't win the Big 12 championship, we're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, in Boise State, they're going to most likely win the Mountain West. And their only loss is to Oregon, who they should have beat. The next best team in the Mountain West is Colorado State.
Yikes! Holy cow!
And they're 6-3, but I think that
I guess they probably haven't lost any Colorado.
I think Boise State gets it as long as they win out. I mean, they don't have very tough of a next schedule. They play Nevada, San Jose State. Mm-hmm. Wyoming, and then Oregon State,
right.
And then the conference championship, who most likely will be Colorado State. But
right. Okay, well, interesting things to come. We want to keep it rolling into a little bit more college football talk. I wanted you to speak a little bit to the Grizz this year and what the Grizz, what their ceiling is, do you think? I think they're sitting at 6-2 right now. We've been ranked for most of the year. I feel like they're giving
all of the year.
Seems like they are always giving us a lot of credit when we don't necessarily deserve it this year. I feel like other years we've deserved it and they haven't given it to us. And then this year they're like, oh, yeah, we're still riding with the Grizz, even though we've had some not so great losses. What's the Grizz's ceiling? Are we going to win the Brawl of the Wild this year? What's going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you this. They didn't have – I mean, after that, their second game they lost to North Dakota, mm-hmm. which isn't
not a bad loss.
Yes, you want to win all the games you can, but – if it's not a conference game, it really doesn't matter for conference championship reasons. Because FCS doesn't do conference championships. They just do best record.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins the conference. They should have beat there. I think they were up 2017 or some amount to North Dakota at half, and they lost 27-24. Then they came out and they played Morehead State, 159-2. And then their next game was against a ranked Western Carolina. They win 46-35. Then they go to Eastern Washington, a good team,
mm-hmm.
in playing at night, playing in Cheney is a tough one, especially with that red field. They win that one 52-49. They lose in overtime against Weber State. Weber State is a semi-solid team.
Yeah, that's true.
They beat
Northern Arizona.
Why
are we going game by game, Brady?
Well, I mean, they took Sac State to a double overtime. So it's not like they're a bad team. And granted, they should have won that game. There's things in the overtime that. A receiver going back in bounds, which I don't think was completely legal.
Yeah,
but I mean, then you see that Montana beats at NAU in a Northern Colorado. I guess Northern Colorado is not much of a team, but I believe NAU was ranked when we beat them.
Yeah.
So yeah, this coming up here, they had problems with the defense.
Yeah, we got UC Davis, University of California, Davis, Portland
yep.
State,
and then the game. Games at 8:15 on.
I'm selling stock
tomorrow. So the Grizz are ranked 7. UC Davis is ranked 4.
Oh,
Grizz are favored
in the what's it called? In just FCS, like or not FCS?
Yeah, in FCS.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
And Grizz are favored by 6.5 at home at night, which I mean that obviously is an advantage to play at Washington Grizzly, especially mm-hmm. at night.
Are you going to be attending that game?
I will be attending that game.
if we deputize you as a Drew and Jake and Drew podcaster, can we get you on the sideline for some exclusive interviews with some players?
Now, what is the monetization of this podcast?
You're only going to do it if you get paid.
Well, I'm just curious if there's bonuses of being deputized.
Well, I just used the word deputized kind of fluidly. But Jake, are we monetized yet? That sounds like a yes.
It sounds like he's embezzling money. Not even that. He's saying you're not.
Are we making money? Yes.
Hey. Are we making money? Yes. Is it from the podcast? Maybe. I don't know. Who's to say?
Okay, hey. That's a
Brady.
That's a
mind your business.
Okay. So yeah, we could get you. All right. We could get you deputized for monetary value.
Okay. Well, this is
we can make something happen.
Honestly, if it's just for the amount of like a case of beer a week, I'll be happy.
Okay. I don't know if that goes against our use or what's it called, our podcast mission statement, but we'll have to check. We could be okay with that. Okay.
Well, I don't think it's in your business how I spend my money. You can give me that amount.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. You just made it seem like the trade off was going to be us going and buying you.
No, obviously not.
Oh. Okay. Well. Okay.
I'll take a Venmo. Okay. I'll just take a down payment right now, and then we'll go from there. But it's,
for the love, so I can did you it. Answer the question? Is the
yeah?
Chris
well, no, you wild. You just started going.
Are hey, Chris going to win the Brawl of the Wild? Answer the question, Brady. Answer the question.
I went on this because you guys started going on tangents.
You're still not answering the question.
Brady, it's okay. That's on.
It's a loaded question. Do I think they will win? I don't know. Do I hope they win? Yes. It all depends on these next 2 weeks.
That's a good. So if the Grizz win these next 2 weeks, then you see us having enough momentum, enough confidence to be a really, really good Montana State, undefeated.
So your opinion is if the Grizz win the Brawl of the Wild, they'll win the Brawl of the Wild. Is that what I'm getting here?
No, I said the next 2 weeks. That game's in 3 weeks.
Okay, so if they win the next 2 weeks, they're going to win the Brawl of the Wild.
Well, in all defense, it's really who scores first because it's a momentum game. It doesn't help.
Oh,
it's in Bozeman.
Okay. There's no. I feel like there's no momentum from week to week. There's too long of gaps.
I mean,
I don't think momentum carries from like a Saturday to a Saturday. I think it's
the last 3 years, I think, were whoever was the home team won. 4 years, I think, actually. I got some this weekend, if you guys would like to hear those.
You got some what this weekend?
So I got some in-depth stats for the Grizz game on Saturday.
What do you mean by in-depth stats? Give us a taste.
Like, all right. So Montana ranks 7, UC Davis 4. The offense for UC Davis is statistically, and this is out of the FCS, offense is ranked 20. Montana's defense is ranked 20. Their drive efficiency for UC Davis is ranked 55. The Grizz are ranked 41, so the Grizz have a little edge there. The thing where I think that Grizz are going to have a problem with is UC Davis's offensive explosive plays. They're ranked 9th. Mm-hmm. And the Grizz are ranked 24th, but they don't run very well. Their rush effectiveness is 85th, but their pass effectiveness is 6th. So I think they make big plays that are normally pass plays, and they don't have quite a like a it's a three and out or a third down and long, and then they get a long touchdown. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how they get a little momentum in these games.
I think the hard thing is, how do you stop someone like Larrison, who has great running ability, but also can make catches out of the backfield? How did the Grizz stop that?
Their defense is set up for it. They run a 3-3-5 defense. And for those who don't know, it's that's three defensive linemen, a base package of three linebackers, but they run it as 5 linebackers or 4 linebackers. And then you have your defensive backs, So the thing that has been plaguing the Grizz most this year and why you've seen their defense kind of struggle, I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen the Grizz where their defense is better than, or their offense is better than their defense. Mm-hmm. It's usually been flipped.
Right.
They have to be able to get a pass rush. Like, if they're going to blitz, and a lot of times we do in this offense, you have to get pressure on the quarterback or at least contain and wrap up, because we've been having a tough time wrapping up. And then just be able to have those linebackers in coverage be able to pressure the quarterback so those defensive backs don't have to chase a guy for 20 seconds and then they make a circus catch or it's hard to track guys when they're crossing coverage. And then just be able to pressure the quarterback and then know your assignments.
Yeah, totally. That's great stuff.
Do you have any key players to watch for the Grizz this week on offense?
Well, obviously.
Who's going to make a big impact?
I like that Fife. He came from Fresno State. He is mostly, they've been doing quarterback by committee with Ayotte Semi, but Fife has done most of it. But I mean, he's 10 touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah.
1300 yards. Obviously Eli Gilman, averages 7.3 yards a carry.
Love Gilman. Gotta love Gilman.
Osmo's averaging 6.4 yards per carry. And then this is the first time the Grizz have actually had a traditional pocket quarterback instead of kind of like a pat or a play action runner option. We finally brought back in a tight end into the offense, which is good to see. But I think, I mean, obviously it's like Junior Bergen, Eli Gilman, Fife, Jason. And then on the defensive side, I mean, it could be anybody.
Maybe
my buddy Jace Klusiewicz.
Familiar last name.
Got it. What?
I said familiar last name.
It is.
Well, that's and great. Then, I think we've heard a lot about the Grizz. I want to finish off with your Vikings. Can we talk about your Vikings?
We can talk about my Vikings.
They start off the season 5-0, right?
Yes.
And in the last three games, they've went 2-3 and
They've lost two out of the three.
And they barely, the one win they did have, they barely beat a 39-year-old Joe Flacco. So I think the best sound that describes the Vikings last 3 weeks is this one right here. Do you think the Vikings will be able to bounce back? And do you think Sam Darnold is still seeing ghosts?
You know, it's crazy that you're saying that a 6-2 team has to bounce back.
Yeah, terrible take.
For you to say they lost the last three or two out of the last three games, they lost two games in a row. So they beat a Colts. A win in the NFL is a win.
Some wins are greater than others.
The offense struggled a little bit, and yes, Darnold isn't the
pumpkin watch.
Darnold isn't he is a great quarterback, and this is the first time with Kevin O'Connell.
He's not a great quarterback.
Yeah, is he in great watch yet? I feel like
that's blasphemy.
I think you have to have at least one good year.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna list you two quarterbacks.
Brady's gonna try to catch us in a trap. He's about to read a bunch of stats, and then it's gonna be a long like.
Let me hear it.
And I don't want you looking these up.
Okay, I won't.
Okay. First quarterback, 168 for 262, 2,001 yards, 17 touchdowns, has taken 11 sacks, and a 14.9% pressure rate. Second quarterback, 155 for 223, 1,900 yards, 17 touchdowns as well.
Same touchdowns.
Taken 25 sacks.
Sacks.
Pretty similar stats, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the sacks are a lot. are pretty glaring. But I wonder what the pressure rate of the second quarterback is. But yeah,
28.4%.
Okay, that's
pretty. Who are these two quarterbacks?
The first one's Josh Allen, widely thought as the one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. Second one is Sam Darnold.
Hmm. I feel like the first quarterback had all the better stats.
Yeah, the touchdowns was glaring. But, I mean,
Josh Allen has not thrown that many touchdowns this year. How many interceptions did you say Josh Allen had?
I think Brady is saying that Keon Coleman is Justin Jefferson.
Two interceptions. How many has Sam Darnold had?
Seven. I will give two interceptions to that. I don't know if you guys
watched. A big difference in Josh Allen's game this year. He's not throwing it deep anymore. He's not this big game player anymore. He's been managing the game a lot better. That's why he has less touchdowns. And that's why also he has less interceptions.
I don't want to act like this is just strictly anti-Sam Darnold. I'm a big Sam Darnold fan. I think he's been playing
What is the difference? Where can you tell me where Sam Darnold has lost the game for the Vikings?
I think the two games that they did lose, he lost the game for them. He had I think he had somewhat of a good game against the Colts. I thought he played decent against the Colts. I'm not arguing that he is not an average quarterback or a little bit above average. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. I can name 20 better quarterbacks than him in the league right now.
Oh, that's crazy.
Okay. Well, okay. So against the Rams when he lost, 18 for 25, 240 yards and two touchdowns.
He's not even the best quarterback on his team.
Jaren Hall doesn't play for the Vikings anymore.
You have a bad... I don't even know who their backup is.
I'm saying J.J. McCarthy. He could probably be better with a broken leg.
So back to that is like they lost to a Lions team, which is
are you disagreeing that there's 20 better quarterbacks than Sam Darnold?
I'm 1,000% disagreeing.
I'm naming them right now.
They got Nick Mullins as their second string. That would be sick. Nick Mullins get in there.
I'll name them right now: Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts. Joe Burrow.
Brock Purdy.
I would take Brock Purdy over Sam Darnold. When's the last time Sam Darnold went to a Super Bowl?
I'm sorry. Kyler Murray?
What?
My point is that teams gave up on him. This is the first time that a coach has actually believed in him.
Jalen Hurts. I'm at six. Jalen Hurts. Baker Mayfield. I'd go...
Did you say Jared Goff already?
Not Jared Goff. I would say Jared Goff. I'd say Jordan Love. I'd say Kyler Murray.
CJ Stroud.
I got 10 right now. I'd go CJ Stroud. I'd go Justin Herbert. I got 12. I'd go Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I'm surprised that's the one you said.
Go Jaden Daniels.
Would you go Kirko?
I would go Kirk Cousins. I would go.
Did you get Stafford?
I would go Stafford. I got 15 right now.
I think he falls right there, though.
Right there?
Okay.
Russell Wilson. I would pick Russell Wilson over him.
Really?
Yeah,
you can say that. Like, and this is all based off this season, correct? Like, this is who you're taking this season. Like, this is who you think is best this season.
This is season.
Yeah, this is all that matters.
So how can you say that Patrick Mahomes is playing better than him when
he's definitely playing better than him?
Touchdowns and nine interceptions.
If you look at Patrick Mahomes' fourth quarter stats, it is bar none to no one else. No one else has thrown like
this
him year? If no one else has thrown like him in the fourth quarter. Look up his stats in the fourth quarter. He hasn't needed to play great. He has been managing the games and letting the defense do it. He hasn't broken out any crazy plays, and he's saving it for the playoffs. They're undefeated. Don't argue me. Darnold against the best quarterback of all time.
The best quarterback of all time?
I would argue the best or the second best quarterback of all time.
The second? So, okay, change your opinion there.
I'd go second. He's almost there. Tom Brady's one.
His hands are 9 inches.
Where did that stat come from?
I'm just looking at Patrick Mahomes' fourth quarter stats and the hand size.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now, too.
Why are you guys both looking at his hand size right now?
I don't know why this is the first thing that came up. They don't have his hometown. Ooh. Maybe he has no home.
I think I was at 15. I'd go Tua over him. Healthy Tua. I'd take over him. 16.
I just don't understand why you think that he's the Why do you think the Vikings are 6-2?
I'd take Dak over him.
Why do you think the Vikings are 6-2?
They have a great defense. Amazing defense.
And that's no discredit to Sam Darnold.
And I think Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the NFL. That's what I think.
But who's putting the ball into his hands? Like, I think I was looking at that, and it was that Sam Darnold has the most on-target throws as any quarterback this year. And it, is that
how do you
receiver?
Measure that?
On-target means it hits the receiver, and not on-target means it does not hit the receiver.
Okay, so they've measured how many times it touches a wide receiver's hands.
Is this an Amazon stat?
Yeah. So when Justin Jefferson runs to an underthrown ball from Sam Darnold, that's considered a good throw?
No, you're arguing to argue here because
I'm not. I'm just saying. I don't. That seems like that is a weird stat. How do you measure that stat?
It's a good stat, but I think it's a little bit worth.
Honestly, if someone threw a Hail Mary every play to a circle, they could probably get the best stat in the NFL.
Okay, we're beating around
the bush
here.
But then you're not.
I don't care about stats. Yeah, it's whatever. Like, we're halfway through the season right now. I think we're perfectly halfway through the season. What is the Vikings' ceiling? Are they going to make an NFC championship?
First round exit.
I feel like
I don't know if they're making the playoffs.
If you're looking at a team that's 6-2 right now, your goal, if you're 6-2 right now, should be, hey, we're going to make an NFC championship. If you're sitting in this NFC right now, where there's a lot of teams sitting at the top, are they able to make it to an NFC championship? What do you think, Brady?
I think they are. I think that they, like you saw with the Lions are arguably one of the better teams in the league right now, at least as the stats are saying. The remainder of the season, I mean, the NFC North has become very good with a competitive Packers team. They've got the youngest team in the league.
Packers are
and good. Then the Vikings have the oldest, are tied for the oldest team in the league. And so in how that defense works is it's very aggressive and you need smart players, and that's where the age comes in. And then the problems you see is where it starts to get tired. And then Vikings have been a little plagued by injury with some of their big time guys, with Blake Cashman. You had the defensive end from, Turner. He was out a couple games. Harrison Phillips out a couple games, and it just been kind of like they're getting back to healthy, but you need to lose these games to know how to win. So, I mean, if I would rather have the Vikings go 9-6 over the whole season and win the Super Bowl, then I would have them go undefeated and lose in the playoffs.
Very good point. The Vikings do have a very, I would say not an easy schedule, but definitely a very manageable schedule to close the season. They play the Jaguars next week, Titans following that, Bears. So three very winnable games, followed by the 5-4 Cardinals, also potentially a winnable game for them, before they get back into some tougher games with Falcons, Seahawks, Packers, and Lions. So we'll be keeping a close eye on if Sam Darnold's seeing ghosts or not. I think he's a solid quarterback, and I don't think that's a diss to say solid. In my book, solid means he's not a game manager. He's a game-winning quarterback. Mm-hmm. Just the distinction between good, solid, and great. I think that he's in that solid area right now. Close to being great, but we got to see.
Geno Smith is also better. Thank you for joining the show, though, Brady. We are out of time.
Well, it just feels like that you set me up and then didn't listen to anything I had to say.
I was actually really excited. I feel like I didn't set up Brady. I feel like Jake was trying to.
No.
It's like when you're on, like, this is like when you see your ex in public. Like, Brady was my old podcasting buddy. And now Jake's the new one, and Jake's trying to
jealous.
Jake's trying to prove, like, hey, I'm better than you. He's with me now for a reason. You don't deserve to be even on the same airwaves. I think that's what's going on. So excuse my co-host if he's a little bit testy.
Can I leave off with giving the flowers to one person why I really think that the Vikings are successful?
Who?
I thought he was going to give the flowers to me.
Kevin O'Connell.
He should be a coach.
I mean,
at least 26 and 16
in 3 years, and he lost 10 of those games with no Kirk.
Can't win the big one. He only coached Kirk for 2 years?
Yep. Because before that was Mike Zimmer.
Wow.
I hate Mike
Awesome. Thank you, Brady, for joining the show. We're going to have you on in the future as well.
Andrew, can you lead up the next one? I feel like this is a coordinated attack.
Yeah, I'll lead out the next one. I thought Brady was really about to say, when Jake said, we'll have to have you on, and then I thought Brady was going to say, I'm okay. But, you know, I'll lead out the next one. It'll be a safe space. But stay quick, Brady. Have your. We'll give you some better things to be prepared for next time so that you're quick on the draw with some of these conversations we'll talk about. But we'll be sure to have you on, hopefully even next week. But
just let me know about. We'll talk later about the financial compensation. I'll just take a down payment now. Whatever the podcast is making, I'll just take like 5%.
Oh wow. Okay.
We're gonna have to negotiate this.
We'll talk stocks. We'll talk stocks.
How much are you making, Jake? Is 5% the problem?
Well, we'll see you, Brady.
5%.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You're the best. You're the best. We'll talk to you later, man. All right. Appreciate you.
Talk to you. Bye.
Wow. What a podcast.
What a podcast.
We've been everywhere. We had Big Boy Coug. We had Brady from Montana of the BA Sports Show. It was all in all a great pod, I feel like. The funniest part of that podcast was Brady talking for 20 minutes about the Grizz and if they would beat Montana State or not, and then just never said. We still don't know if the Grizz
are going to beat Montana. The answer. We're still waiting.
If you're confused, so are we. But I feel like Brady's a good guest. I'm excited to have him on more in the future. But we'll just make sure he's prepared so he's not looking up stats. I feel like I got a history lesson. But it was good. Mm-hmm. Jake, anything else you want to talk about before we let the people go today?
Are we getting kicked out right now of the podcasting room?
They couldn't even kick us out if they wanted to.
You don't think so?
No. I'm actually, I have a gun on me right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we have a few more minutes. You want to call Sam up?
Oh, do we have time for Sam?
Sam's story? We got to make it quick.
Okay, let's see if he's still in school or not.
Okay. And if this one fails, then we'll just tell our Sammy story. This is our Sammy story of the week.
Do you want me to intro this?
You got it. You tell the story.
Okay. Sam answers the phone. It's the funniest thing. He's like, he acts like he's trying to play it cool, but you can tell it's like the best moment of his life.
Hey, welcome to Jake and Drew. Hey guys.
Sup, dude.
Wow. I think we're going to get a voicemail.
Let me call him. Picks up first, ready?
Please leave your message.
Wow.
You know, the tough part about that is Sam's going to see his phone. He's going to be like, he's going to cry. Cause he's like, I can't think we're calling for the show. They were definitely calling for the show. Now we're not going to have Sam on ever again.
Yeah. You want to tell the story though?
I think we should save it for when Sam's here.
All right. We'll save it for
think
next week.
To get his reaction.
A little clickbait.
I am excited. I'm looking forward to Sammy's stories next week. To all those watching the BYU Utah fan, stay safe. Make sure to cheer on the Cougs. We're hoping for a big win, but we'll take whatever win we can get. A win is a win. But be sure to like, to follow, download the podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Jake and Drew Podcast.
Jake and Drew.
Jake and Drew is exactly how it's spelled. JAKEANDDREW. And we'll be coming back to you with a great pod next week as well. We appreciate your time today, y'all.
Appreciate it. You know, make sure to download this podcast and all your other podcasts to keep listening. I just got a text from Sam. He said, I'm on the bus. So
I don't want to hear him on the bus.
Do we want to hear him on the bus? I guess not. We'll see you next week.
And make sure to download.